Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. Before we get there, in Hebrews 9:27, everyone has to live with this one particular awareness. Unbelievers rarely do, but that verse isn't really for unbelievers, it's for believers. But every believer needs to live, if they're going to live oriented to reality. Not every believer does live oriented to reality, but if they are to live oriented to reality, then this one passage has to be in their mind continuously. Not that they're anxious about it, but they live in the awareness of it. That we are not here forever, and the day will come relatively quickly when we go home to be with the Lord. And then, at some point, we will face God at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. This is not avoidable. This is in your future as a born-again believer. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema seat, you will be evaluated for the life that you have lived. Not in the way that the world evaluates. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 tell us how God will evaluate us. But we will be evaluated basically, bottom line, on the Word of God that we've stored in our heart that's become faith and the love of Christ that we have received. This is coming your way. I wish I could implant this reality in the mind of every Christian. This is coming your way. And the remainder of your eternity, your forever, will be determined at the Bema seat. It's like Spiro Zodiades said that one time. Some people in heaven will have a mansion, but it's a great fallacy in Christianity to think that everybody will have a mansion. The word mansion, as Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That's not a mansion that we're thinking of. That simply means homes, houses. And so, not every believer will have a mansion. Figuratively speaking, some will have a mansion, some will have a hut. Some will be extremely rewarded with great eternal riches, and some will be ashamed at the Bema seat. One of these is in your future. And which one it is determined here and now in time. It's determined by your choices and only your choices. Nobody can make those choices for you. Your pastor cannot influence that except that he is the architect of your faith. He can equip you. But what you do with the equipment is entirely up to you. Your spouse cannot equip you. Your spouse cannot do it for you. Your children, your friends, no one, your parents, no one can do it for you. It is based on your decisions, your choices before God and your relationship to the Word of God and your relationship to the love of God. That will determine your eternity. Are you in a mansion or are you in a hut? Are you a king or are you a pauper? It will determine your eternity. Some will be kings, and figuratively speaking, some will be paupers. Your decisions will determine which is which. As such, in 2 Peter 3:18, Peter tells us, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow is in the imperative mood. The word there is oxano. And it means to grow constantly and continuously. You are commanded to do this. No one else can or is designed to or is given the place to or is capable of doing it for you. You must do this. It is in the imperative mood. Therefore, it is a dogmatic command that Christ gave through the apostle. Grow. Grow. You are constantly to be growing. Some people do not grow. There are believers who grow for a season, stop growing, and then even regress. There are believers who grow beautifully. But God said, grow and keep growing. Never stop growing. Never stop making those decisions that will cause you to grow. Never stop drawing near to the Word of God. Never stop drawing near to the love of God. It is in the imperative mood. You must do this. Thus says the Lord, grow. But yet, as with so many things in the Word of God, some believers, and yes, they are believers, will take it to heart, and others will blow it off. They will, usually through iniquity, dismiss that imperative, dogmatic command from God. This is a severe error, and through their eternity, they will pay for that error. They will never stop paying for that error. There will be no end to that payment for that error. Grow and keep growing. What do you grow in? You grow in grace, and you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is to say, doctrine. And so you grow in grace and you grow in doctrine. Doctrine is instruction from the Word of God for the particulars of your life. Yet people do not have this. Some people do not have it because they are not in a place where it's available. Some people are in a place where it's available and they dismiss it. They do not take God. They do not take God's Word seriously. They do not take the Holy Spirit seriously. They do not take the love of God seriously. And this is the height of iniquity and the throne that iniquity is. They dismiss it. Yet the cost of it, their loss because of it, will be unbelievably profound. They will not go to hell, but certainly they will not experience heaven to the measure that God had hoped in Ephesians 3:20, that they would experience it. Because they refuse to grow. And they don't say, oh, I'm not going to grow. They just say, I'm not really going to get into the Word. I'm not really going to worry about doctrine. I'm not really going to worry about being built up. I'm not really going to worry about these things. This is iniquity. And that is Satan's throne in their life. In their own ignorance, because they have no discernment, he is taking advantage of them to give them eternal, deep loss. God so desires to bless. With some people, he can't. It is the great desire of his heart. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he gave his word. That's why the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. because he desires with all his heart to bless, and yet iniquity prevents him from blessing. Growth, when we talk about growth, we're talking about a person's capacity. Growth is growth of the capacity. Now, you are already a vessel for the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6:19. But you need your capacity enlarged. The enlargement of your capacity is growth. Everything that takes place, every trial, every blessing, every time something that you see as negative takes place in your life, every time is something that you see as positive takes place in your life, it has all been ordained specifically by God, even down to every word spoken in 2 Corinthians 5:18, for the purpose in Romans 8:28 and 29 of conforming you to the image of Christ. This is what your capacity is necessary for. That you can be conformed to the image of Christ. Being conformed to the image of Christ is why you are on earth in the first place and also in the last place. This is your entire purpose on earth. To be conformed to the image of Christ. All things that take place work together for the good of that one purpose. Don't say to yourself in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose, and then take that verse out of context as though everything in life is going to come out hunky-dory. That's not what it's saying. You got to keep it in context. It comes out for good, and the good is conforming you to the image of Christ. No one can do this for you. In Deuteronomy 30:19, you are given a choice. Choose life, choose death. If you don't know which is better, then choose life. Yet many believers, and it's astonishing how frequently this happens, many believers do not choose life, they choose death. And they don't choose it consciously, they choose it by default. They don't maintain life, therefore they choose death. They don't maintain the mind of Christ in their life, therefore they maintain the natural mind, which is an enemy of God. They don't maintain the love of God in their heart, therefore they maintain hatred. Yet they do this by choice, and they'll excuse it often because of their feelings. When you receive truth, then it goes to your mind. The Word of God says they were transformed in the spirit of our mind. It goes to the mind. It does not go to the emotions. One of the biggest mistakes that believers make is they try to receive truth in their emotions. They try to receive truth to perhaps comfort their emotions. Sometimes they receive truth and it stings their emotions, and therefore they do not want the truth. You cannot receive truth or in any way relate to truth in your emotions. Your emotions are not designed for that. If you try to receive truth in your emotions, you will never have deliverance. You will never have victory. You will never have success in thinking with God. You wonder why certain things are plaguing you year in, year out, decade in, decade out. Well, for some people, it's because they try to receive truth in their emotions. They try to use truth as a minister to their emotions. This is not what truth does, and this is not what the emotions are designed for, therefore, it doesn't work. When you receive truth, receive it in the spirit of your mind. In other words, let the Holy Spirit minister it to your mind. It's the mind of Christ, it's not the emotion of Christ, it is the mind of Christ. So let the mind of Christ speak to the mind of the person, you. You never try to receive it in your emotions. You always receive it in your mind. One of the reasons why people have no capacity is because they try to receive truth in their emotions. And yet when a trial comes, when something challenges them, they can't handle it. And the reason is because they have no capacity. In 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. Gold speaks of faith itself, but faith, if it is not tried, what value does it possess? Do you know? It has to be tried. How do I know that I have faith if my faith isn't tried? So, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Now, when the trial of your faith comes, you have to mix faith in the trial with what you hear. That means you must hear. Some people are careless toward their intake of the Word of God. Some people, they don't listen to the Word of God on a daily basis. Or if they listen to it, they only half listen. They'll listen to it, leave a message running or whatever, and then they go do things that takes their attention away from the Word of God. So they're not even receiving it. It's just playing like noise in the background. That's not receiving it. That's not giving God his due respect. That is not giving the Word of God its due respect. That is being very familiar with the Word of God, and the Word of God will do them no good. You give the Word of God its rightful honor and its rightful place. The Word of God deserves that honor and that place. Never say to yourself, I don't care what excuse you want to make, oh, I'm not going to do it today. Well, then don't eat today. Because at least your body will reflect what your soul is experiencing. And some people never really get built up ever. They're Sunday morning Christians, twice a week Christians, three times a week Christians. Well, maybe then, what would you say if Christ had you saved only while you're in church? You better not die on the road. But yet this is the way that people treat God. It's disgusting, frankly. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. But you have to mix faith in order for that trial to grow into capacity. The trial comes to build your capacity. It causes you to go to the throne of grace to find mercy in Hebrews 4:16. Suffering is to bring us, this is something Pastor Stevens said, suffering is to bring us into the reality of our value system. Whether we are living in eternal values or temporal values, eternal viewpoint or temporal viewpoint. Suffering helps us to grow in grace and knowledge and receive divine benefits. And sometimes it happens to give us self-discipline. Now, when God cannot deal with us through doctrine, when we refuse for God to deal with us through doctrine, then He may deal with us through suffering. Because his desire is to cause you to be mature, to mature you, and to bless you. And if you don't allow him to do it through doctrine, well, I got news for you. God's desires are bigger than yours. If you don't allow him to do it through doctrine, he may very well do it through suffering. Now, in that suffering, just like through doctrine, he desires to build your capacity. If you do not have capacity, you literally have nothing. God desires to build your capacity. God cannot fill you if there is no capacity. Impossible to be a spirit-filled Christian without capacity. Impossible to be filled with the Word of God without capacity. Impossible to be filled with the love of God without capacity. This is why God wants you growing. Because he has to build your capacity. That capacity is all valuable. It's the most important thing you have, second to your salvation. There's nothing more important than your capacity. And yet so many Christians, though they are saved, they completely ignore building their capacity. In Matthew 8:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, there has been a lot made out of that passage in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. So many people picture this wooden yoke, wooden beam, that's placed across two oxen. And they say, well, we yoke up with Jesus. A lot has been made. Some of it in practical application is pretty good. But it's not what it means. It's not talking about a beam placed between oxen or people or anything else. Yoke is referring to being the student of a rabbi. That is known as a yoke. He says, be my student. That's why it's followed by, and learn of me. Be my student, be my disciple, and learn of me. What will you learn if you are the disciple of Christ? In John 13:35, you will learn the love of God. And so what he is saying here, learn of me, learn of the love that I have for you. Learn of the compassion, learn of the mercy that I have for you. Learn of my heart toward you, and it will give you rest. Sometimes people are anxious because they don't know the love of God in order for it to give them rest. They don't know the character of God, the faithfulness of God, all the things that the character of God manifests itself in. They don't know these things, and therefore they have no rest. But when you come to the Savior, and you start to be a disciple, a learner of him, you will find that he is meek and he is lowly in heart. He is not difficult in the least. He's extremely kind. Extremely gracious. And you will find rest unto your soul. His yoke is easy. His lessons are easy. And his burden is light. Now recently, I heard Dr. Stevens make some very good points pertaining to this. He said, life is not tough. It's not hard at all. Sometimes there's even churches that say, yes, life is hard, but, and then they try to insert something. But that's not true. Life is not hard. It's not tough at all. It's difficult for you because you don't know God, Dr. Stevens said. It's not difficult if you do know God. You can know God, but you don't rely on Him. That's that Hebrews 4:2 principle. You can hear the Word of God. You can even intellectually memorize the Word of God, but you don't rely on the Word of God. You don't rely on the promises of God. That is also possible. You never get to the point where you do not rely on the promises of God, where you do not rely in your thinking on the Word of God. Do you not realize that whatever is not of faith is sin? That it's the throne of iniquity, which is Satan's throne, that brings you to that place? You always rely on the Word of God. You always rely on the promises of God. You let God define things for you. You don't let Satan define them through self-orientation. You let God define them. You let God define your relationships. You let God define your life. You let God define your value. You let God define your image. Not something else. That is iniquity. You let God do it. You let God do it. Pastor Stevens also said this. Great statements he made. Incapacity of life always reveals our frustrations, our emotional reactions, our insecurities, our pride, and our poor self-esteem. If I'm living in frustrations or emotional reactions or insecurity or pride or poor self-esteem, I have no capacity for life. I have failed to build my capacity. That's why I'm having these problems. And then he said, it also sometimes reveals some serious problems that we refuse to deal with because we have blind spots. You come to Him and you learn of Him. You need to build your capacity. And when you do, when you develop that capacity, you find that life is easy. It is not hard. Not everything in life is pleasant, but it's not hard. Sometimes you will be challenged, but it's not hard. Sometimes Satan may attack you, but it's not hard. It's easy. In Romans 1:17, our lessons with Christ come through applying the Word of God in faith. That's how our relationship to Him is revealed. That's how we live by faith. You receive the Word of God, you trust the Word of God, you apply the Word of God. You get into a situation. You receive the promises of God, you trust the promises of God, you apply the promises of God. You have an issue, perhaps something is plaguing you in your life. You receive definition from God for your life. You trust the definition from God for your life. You apply the definition from God for your life. This is your relationship to God. This is how you live by faith. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus is when the yoke becomes easy and the burden becomes light. Sometimes it happens, actually I think very frequently it happens, that people start looking at details, or they start looking at other people. They start looking at the things that challenge them. They start looking at what they don't like. They start looking at what they do like. They start looking at situations. This is where you become extremely weak and incapacitated. You look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Because you come to Him, you look at Him. You're not coming to your trials, you're not coming to your challenges, you're not coming to your problems, you're not coming to your bad self-image, you're not coming to what people say or what people do. You come to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You come to Him, and He will give you rest. Learn of Him. Be His disciple, and He will teach you about His love. And this makes your burdens easy, and the yoke is easy, and life is easy. If your life is not easy, then your problem is with your capacity. It's not with your details. It's not with the people. It's not with situations. It's your capacity. You gotta deal with your capacity. That's what growing means. In Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now, sometimes people say, well, I have to be equally yoked. That means Christ is leading and I'm doing as He leads. Wrong. You're learning. He's doing. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You're not doing the working God is. You're not doing the doing God is. What are you doing? You're doing the receiving. You're doing the coming to Jesus. You're doing the getting built up in the Word of God on a regular daily basis, minimum of an hour a day. That's what you're doing. What's He doing? Working in you. What's He building? Capacity. If I try to produce something in the name of a yoke, it will be very difficult. But His yoke is easy because it's not being yoked like an ox. It's being a learner of a rabbi. So learn. But some people won't learn. Some people have hardened their heart to the point where they're simply not teachable. You can't get beyond their iniquity. And those are people that God has to break. You don't own you. He does the working. In John 3:30, He must increase. I must decrease. This is an issue of capacity. We will all stand before God alone. So everything in our life down here on earth had better be changed into the correct measure of it, into the correct form of it now. Because once you leave here, you have what you have and that's all you get. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, gold, silver, and precious stones are the building materials, but we can only use them now. Gold, faith, silver, redemption, precious stones, fruit of the Spirit, love. You can only use them now. You can only use them in life. People say to themselves, for whatever reason, I am excused. And God says, you most certainly are not. You will find out in 1 Corinthians 3 what you've been building with. The fire will test it, and the fire exists here on earth. It's not a fire in heaven that'll test your works. It's a fire here. It's the fiery trial of your faith. So how did you do with your trial? How did you do when God said, okay, let's test? Do you think the trial is just a happenstance? You think it happened just off the cuff? No, it was ordained. And it was ordained to show you your value system, whether it's temporal or eternal. It was ordained so that your capacity could grow. It was ordained so that God could deal with you to get you to mature, to get you to grow. Sometimes people fight against it. They receive it in their emotions. They don't let God define it in His Word, and they fight against it. And at that point, you are finding the resistance of God. That's a very dangerous place to be, because you're losing. At that point, you're losing. You don't want to lose. But if you're fighting against the trial, you are losing. Because you're fighting against God. We build our capacity through three things. Meekness toward God's word in Psalm 25:9. Humility in Psalm 34:2, and self-discipline in Romans 1:17. Now, meekness will cause God Himself to teach you. Humility will make you receptive to His Word. And self-discipline, and this is a big one, this is the one where most people tend to lose it. Self-discipline will keep you in the love of God. It'll keep you in the Word of God. It'll keep you in faith. Self-discipline to receive the Word and apply the Word so that you can have a living, working relationship with Christ. Meekness, humility, self-discipline, that is what your capacity is built by. You can put it in these terms: Word of God, faith, and self-discipline toward the things of God. That's what builds your capacity. Once you have capacity, then God is able to bless you. But He can only bless you according to your capacity. He cannot bless you if there is no capacity. He can only bless you according to your capacity. In Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. When a person turns to negativity, they start to express negativity. They respond with negativity. It destroys their capacity. And it removes or prevents blessings. Do you realize what a danger negativity is in your life? Quite frankly, most Christians have no idea. They live in negativity like they're eating popcorn. Negativity is Satan's great means of being a thief. He's robbing you blind through negativity. But then he is a thief in John 10:10. You don't become negative. If you can't not be negative, then don't be a voice box for the devil, because he's trying to rob you. He's trying to destroy your capacity. Keep still until the Holy Spirit can minister truth to you so that you not be robbed. But if you're going to live in your emotions, you will have no ability for that. You have to live in truth. But like I said, a message like this, some people will accept it. It will become beneficial. Some people, it can save their lives. Other people, in a week or two, it'll be gone. They don't even know it was ever preached. But it is your eternity. Quite literally, this is your eternity. So what do you want your eternity to be? In Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Gates, according to Barnes, this is talking about the gates that take you into the temple. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, this refers to being spirit-filled. You enter into being spirit-filled with thanksgiving. Enter his courts. Courts were where you worship. And this refers in Psalm 22:3 to fellowship with God. So you enter into being spirit-filled with thanksgiving, and you enter into fellowship with God with praise. So tell me, what situation is there where you do not need to be spirit-filled and where you do not need to fellowship with God? Tell me, at what time of day is that a convenient thing? What part of your life will prosper by not being spirit-filled and not having fellowship with God? What part of your life will be enhanced? What relationship in your life will be helped or in some way served by not being spirit-filled and being out of fellowship with God? Tell me. If you want capacity, then this is a must. Thankfulness protects your capacity from negativity. It protects you from being robbed, and it opens your capacity to receive blessings. Praising God because you're thankful. You don't do it because of circumstance or by sight. You do it because the Holy Spirit is living in you, the truth is living in you, and you have an abundance of that truth, and you are oriented to that truth. Like you didn't have anything to praise him for. Well, you're not going to hell, are you? That's enough praise right there for eternity. But some people, they're just so oriented to iniquity that Satan laughs all the way to their death because he knows he's robbed them. Don't be robbed. Don't be robbed. Grow and keep growing, and this is how we grow. We grow our capacity, and we protect our capacity. Most important thing you have, protect it with everything you got. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Therein is your capacity. In John 15:5, if you abide in the love of God and the word of God abides in you, you will have tremendous fruit. You'll have tremendous love. You'll have tremendous joy. But you say that to some Christians and it's like bouncing a ball off a wall. It does nothing. And the reason is because the soil is hard and the capacity is non-existent. And if it stays that way, God will bring trials to break and to build, so that he can bless. In verse 7 of the same chapter, if you keep yourself in the love of God and the Word of God abides in you, you can ask for anything in prayer, and it will be given to you. Capacity is about relationship. When we talk about capacity, we're talking about your ability to have a living, loving, fluent, rich, meaningful, satisfying relationship with Christ. Don't neglect it. If you neglect it, you will be eternally robbed. And if you build it and you continue to build it, you will be eternally blessed. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."